The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Yes, Dublin aren't in great form, but they're bored out in their mind. Paul Mannion and Jack McCaffrey aren't playing, yes, because of the stress and the strain, but they're a bit bored.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
8:51 on this Friday morning. Delighted to welcome Rob Kearney back to the show. Rob, good morning to you. How are you keeping?
Good, thanks, Owen, and yourself?
Yeah, very well, thanks. So, watching the first couple of tests of this game, of this series, are you looking at those 160 minutes and thinking to yourself, geez, I'd love to be out there, or are you thinking it's not a great place to be a fullback?
I think you'd always love to be out there, wouldn't you? Any sort of competitive player. It's a great place to be a fullback if you're making all your catches. And it's a lonely place to be a fullback when you're not, and they've been as contested as heavily as they are. So listen, fullback's always one of those positions. It's either lonely when the days are going wrong, or you know, you're flying high when they're going well.
A lot of people, I think Alan Quinlan referred to a lot of the aerial battles last weekend as 50-50s. Did you see it that way, that they are 50-50s, or is the way they've been put up in the air actually favouring the Springboks and hence their success in that department?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of them have been 50-50s now. There's probably five or six balls in there which the Lions should have managed to take. They're big momentum swings in games when you lose those aerial battles. Now, to be fair to South Africa, the kicks have been on point, which makes it a little bit more difficult. But also the nature of catching high balls has changed a lot over the last number of years. That, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago, you'd always have two guys going for the ball in the area, in the air, just making it one single contest. Now you've got three or four Springboks or the Lions on the other side who are just charging at the ball, not necessarily trying to catch it, but just trying to force a knock on or create a breaking ball, a bit like in Gaelic football, where you're trying to create scraps and hope that you'll pick it up on the ground then. So it has become a lot more competitive in the last couple of years.
How do fullbacks then react to that change, Rob, and how would you have reacted to that?
I think you've got to put a lot of pressure on the guys around you to make sure that you're getting as much protection as you can in the air. The guys in the front line who have recognized that the kick has happened, they've got to work back really hard and make sure that they're getting some sort of block in on the Springbok players who are trying to contest for that. You've got to make their line of entry as long and as complicated as possible. So, you know, they're having to do a few swerves, a bit of zigzagging, or that they lose the sight of the ball in the air.
And Rob, sorry, go ahead, Dave.
Rob, there's been so many parallels with the 09 tour, not least the fact that South Africa have come into it on the back of a World Cup victory and won in largely the same way in 07 and 2019. When you were preparing for those test matches, was there a feeling that we have to take the Springboks on at their own game to have any chance of winning this test series, as appears to be the case now with Warren Gatland? Or was there a feeling, no, we have to make them uncomfortable, we have to stretch the game, we have to keep the ball in the field, and we have to try things that they're not necessarily used to?
Yeah, it was a combination of both. So Warren Gatland, we know, doesn't like kicking the ball out too much. So historically, loves keeping the ball in play, ideally down the 15-metre channels. You know, I've been a little bit surprised at the Lions' strategy over the last couple of weeks. It's as if they're trying to play the Springboks at their own game. Now, we've seen a couple of changes this week. Ali Price in again after that first test. When you saw him picked, you think, okay, maybe they're going to try and take the ball on around the fringes a little bit more. But they kicked, and he kicked a lot of box kicks. So you asked the question, well, why not start Conor Murray? But it's the one part of his game that he is considerably better over Ali Price at. I think sometimes when it comes down to the third test, everything is on the line. As a team, as a coaching group, you're encouraged just to release the shackles a little bit and to have a go from a few more opportunities that you might not have done in the previous few weeks, and sort of hopefully we'll see the Lions throw the kitchen sink at them a little bit.
And do you think those changes in the back line point towards a different approach game plan wise, or just doing what they attempted to do last weekend a bit better?
I think they're probably getting caught in between. The selection would say, okay, we're going to try and and open the game up a little bit more. We're going to try and be a little bit braver. We'll put Finn Russell on the bench. If 20 minutes to go, he'll come on and, you know, he'll try his box of tricks and all of these little things. But I expect that the Lions are going to get caught into the same sort of game plan as the last few weeks, this weekend again.
So the expectation then with the changes is to do the same thing, but to do it better. And it's interesting listening to Liam Williams speak in the build-up to this game. He was asked who the best in the world is at catching the high ball, and he said, "You're looking at him." He says, "If I don't believe in myself, nobody else is going to believe in me." It's brilliant to see that sort of confidence. And I assume when you're actually trying to find the deciding factor in the 50-50 balls, as we just mentioned, something like that kind of does matter.
Yeah, it's enormous. And, you know, Liam Williams is superb in the air, and he's probably better than Stuart Hogg. But we've known exactly what the Springboks are going to bring for the last number of years: scrum, set piece, and the aerial battle. And, you know, it's a bit like the scrum. If you lose the aerial battle in a game, you're going to lose the game. So, you know, again, that's why I was probably a little bit surprised to see Stuart Hogg starting over the last few weeks, because we knew that it was the one area of the game that he's probably a little bit susceptible under. So, you know, you'd hope now the changes they've made in the back three that they're going to tighten up those aerial gains. And when the ball is kicked, that they're eating every single ball up in the air. So then the Springboks all of a sudden think, okay, we're not getting the same sort of access into this game. We have to alter our plan. And that's what you want to do with them. You want to try and get them to alter their plan a little bit, because it's so simplistic what they do, but it's very difficult to stop.
What makes Liam Williams so good in that department?
It's technique, it's timing. That's really the only thing with catching high balls. You've got to be very confident, which from his interview during the week, it seems that he's really backing himself in that facet of the game. But, you know, it's a one-on-one thing, isn't it? It's a bit like throwing into the line out. It's just you and the ball. And when I was playing, and I look back into those tests in 2009, you know, the only thing I wanted Mornay Stein to do was to kick high balls on me. Pienaar the same. You know, you're just praying, kick the ball on me, kick the ball on me, and that's your access into the game.
We were actually watching it back with Brian O'Driscoll a few weeks ago, that second test in 09. It was an incredible performance from you, but at the same time, you could tell that they were trying to target you. Like, are you relishing that at the same time, when you know that the ball is going to be coming to you so frequently?
100%. After the first few, and you know you're going well and you're having a good game, the only thing that you want the opposition to do is kick a high ball on you. And I was lucky in that game that's the only thing that they kept continuing to do.
Rob, the Finn Russell conundrum, and you mentioned it briefly there. If, for example, I'll just put a sort of a hypothetical out there, it's 15-all going into the last 15, 20 minutes. Dan Biggar is still on the pitch and fit. There's no injury or fatigue issue. Do you see Warren Gatland bringing Finn Russell into the game to manage that last 20 minutes? Or is the only scenario in which Russell gets any game time if the Lions are 12 points down going into the last quarter and something seismic has to change?
Yeah, I think it's probably the latter, isn't it? You know, Finn Russell is superb at creating something out of nothing. Now, we do know that he's capable of the odd mishap as well. So I suspect if the game is 15-all with 15 minutes to go, that he's not going to be on the field. But it is very, very likely that this game is going to be in the balance with 10 or 15 minutes to go. And this, again, sort of the selection that it's a little bit tough to get your head around, because you look at Conor Murray. In that first test, he came on and he closed the game out unbelievably well. He brought real calmness and assuredness to the game. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why he's on the bench again this week, that if it's tight with 15 minutes to go, we can take Murray on. He'll slow the game down. He'll make really good decisions and he'll close out the game for us. And then you look at Finn Russell in the number 10 shirt and you say, well, does that strategy really up with our number 10? So, you know, your guess is as good as mine when it comes to Warren Gatland's selections.
But in all likelihood, he doesn't get on the field. Which then seems like a little bit of a waste of a bench option. Warren Gatland is hoping that the Lions are winning going into the last 15 minutes. If the Lions are winning, Russell doesn't come in.
Yeah, he's hoping that, but you know, Dan Biggar's come off in the last few games with a HIA once. He got a bang in the knee another time. You know, see, you've got to take, as a coach, all of these things into your head that, you know, there's a very good chance that Dan Biggar's not going to last 80 minutes of rugby. So, you know, they must have some sort of faith in Finn Russell to be able to close out a game, because otherwise he wouldn't be there, knowing that that is a very strong possibility.
What is the difference, in your view, between Robbie Henshaw at 12 and Robbie Henshaw at 13 then?
Well, there's a little bit more space for him to attack it at 13. You know, Robbie is someone who's got unbelievable footwork. He's a great sidestep, and he's able to get himself out of trouble very well. Now, we don't get to see that as much when he's playing at 12, just because the amount of time and space isn't there, and you're asked to, 9 times out of 10, carry the ball forward, get some gain line, exactly what we're going to see from Bundy this weekend. You know, so you'd hope that he'll get a little bit more space to try and create things. He's a really good distribution game, which will help the Lions get the ball to the edges. We talk about the Lions been brave in attack. You know, he's probably one of the guys who has the ability to throw that ball to the edge and try and get some width on the play. Now, it's easy for us to sit here and say the Lions need to be braver in attack. Springboks play unbelievably high. Their wingers play high. Willie LaRue closes very early. So you don't want to be that guy who throws an intercept in a test match of a Lions game, because we know tries are so precious in these test matches, and 7 points can be the game. So, you know, in some respects, you've got to take your hat off to the Springboks as well. Or a team that have played very little rugby in the last couple of years, who've been battling with quarantine and COVID and all the disruptions of that, they've been pretty impressive this last few weeks.
Yeah, they certainly have. On LaRue, who you mentioned there, O'Driscoll was saying on the show last night that maybe he could be got at defensively. Is that something you go along with?
Yeah, I think so. But like, defensively, in terms of what is that, putting the ball in behind him or taking him on one on one with the ball in hand? Certainly, defensively, he closes so high and so hard that there is a lot of kick space into those corners that he's leaving. Now, the only problem with that is that the speed of the Springboks defense is coming off the line so hard and so aggressively that you don't get that time and space to execute those kicks. So we saw Owen Farrell get charged down one of the games a few weeks ago. He recognized and identified that the space was in the backfield because Willie LaRue was closing so hard, but he got charged down and they go and score the other end of the field.
Is there anything...
Why rather than the Lions varied it a little more? Like, there was so much talk when you were in the Ireland team about that additional kicking option with your left foot, that you might get the ball to first or second receiver, but then you reverse the ball back out to someone like yourself in the hope that a Willie LaRue has vacated that position, and then it's the full back that can stick the ball over the top. They haven't seemed to utilise that at all.
No, and that's when I saw Elliot Daly picked at 13 in that first test, for me, that was the reason I thought, okay, they've clearly identified that Willie LaRue is playing high. They're going to use him, throw him a skip one ball on an overs line that he has a little bit of kick space into that corner. I would like to have seen the Lions maybe have been a little bit more inventive off starter plays, off those first 3 or 4 phases where they know they're going to be able to exploit the space in the backfield. That you manipulate certain defenders where you know that on this 3rd or 4th phase, you'll have time and space to kick the ball into this corner. Willie LaRue is going to be high. We can all move forward. And that's how we get into their half. Because that's the biggest problem they're having at the moment. They don't want to play rugby in their own half, which is fair enough because, you know, the Springboks will punish you. They'll turn over penalties. They'll kick 3, 6, 9 like we've seen. So they're trying to wait to play their rugby until they get into the opposition half. They're just finding it difficult to do that.
So you think that the build-up of phase play where you get the ball into the hands of someone like Owen Farrell, as you mentioned there, is telegraphing the move a little bit and allowing them to block the kicker just a little bit more effectively?
Yeah, a little bit. And, you know, you see some phase plays over time where, you know, you might not kick until the 4th phase, but it's after three phases of going the same way, and then you've got a left footer coming back behind the ruck who sticks it into that opposition corner. And that's what I mean about being a little bit more creative with some of the set pieces, that it's not always necessarily going off 10 who's sitting in the pocket, because it becomes pretty telegraphed then.
Mm. It does seem from what you're saying that there are slight tweaks that can lead to a lot of success for the Lions tomorrow. That maybe the narrative this week has been a little bit like, too much kicking, the ball's going high too often, and that's simply not good enough. But actually it's the way in which the ball is being kicked, or the decision making really, which let them down last Saturday, and is a relatively fixable thing before tomorrow.
Yeah, it is fixable, but it all starts at the breakdown as well. When you're kicking the ball, you want to kick on your terms. When you've got good quick ball, when you've manipulated the backfield defense a little bit, and you know that you're kicking to space. The worst time to kick is when it's off slow rough ball. The back three are holding back a little bit more because they can see the 10 sitting in the pocket. And the 10 sitting in the pocket because the ball's a bit slower, because he knows the opposition defense is going to be rushing on him harder. So like a lot of these things, it starts with the speed of ball at the ruck. And these South African guys are so big and so strong that they're just slowing every ruck ball down.
Rob, it's interesting that we have you on the back of two tests that, let's face it, for the neutral and for maybe for the casual rugby fan, have not been easy on the eye, and wouldn't encourage you to sit down and watch rugby every weekend. Given your time that you've just spent with Western Force in Australia and the trialling of a couple of those rules, most notably the 50-22 rule, are you looking at maybe last week's test, and given the fact that we just spent 10 minutes talking about the kicking game, thinking how different it could potentially be for the Lions if the 50-22 rule was in place and they had the option to kick the ball from deep out for their old line out deep inside the South African 22, and that maybe test matches like we've seen last week and the week before might just herald a few more people in positions of power deciding that this is the sort of changes that we need?
I think so. Now, listen, when you get to high-pressure games of semi-finals, World Cup finals, Lion Test Series, whatever, there's always going to be a lot more kicking. It's just the nature of it. Teams are less comfortable to play with the ball inside their own half. It is very... it's low risk, it's high reward. So that's the way the game has always been, over the last 10 years or so. This new rule, I think it will help a little bit in keeping two men in the backfield. You have to religiously play a 13-2, which is 13 frontline, two in the backfield. Some teams will try and get away with a 14-1 and have the 15 on a single man pendulum behind the ball. So you won't be able to do that anymore. So you'd have to think that there's going to be a little bit more space on the front line, which is good for attacking sides because it means that they'll be prepared to take a few more risks. And one man is a lot of space on front line defense. It can make a big difference. So it'll be interesting to see how the laws go. I think you'll be surprised at how few times it actually comes off for one reason or another. You know, when I started, I thought, okay, we get one of these every game. It's harder to try and find them, and you know, if you do go for it too many times too often and you just kick loose rubbish ball away, you know, your pack get pretty disappointed with you very quickly.
call it for us tomorrow, Rob.
I think if the Lions start really well, they need to get a 10-point win. A 10-point advantage in that first half. If they're not up at halftime, I don't see them winning. The strength of this South African bench that's going to come on, they'll scrum, they'll win penalties, they'll close out the game too easily. So if the Lions are winning at halftime, I see them to win. If not, I think it's going to be another tough day for them.
Right, very interesting. Great analysis this morning, Rob. Really appreciate your time.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Yes, Dublin aren't in great form, but they're bored out in their mind. Paul Mannion and Jack McCaffrey aren't playing, yes, because of the stress and the strain, but they're a bit bored.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.